Amen. You may be seated again. Wow, there's already been so much that's gone on today. How can it get better, right? Well, it can, all right? Today we're also going to be taking communion. I think that's the best thing about gathering together for church is communion and just going back to the table and centering ourselves on Jesus Christ. So we're going to be preparing ourselves for that through the Word. I want to ask you to turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 1 through 10 as we talk about the Radical Community Part 3, Life Change Groups. Life Change Groups. Now, as you find that, I just want to talk about this vital difference in an organization with members who are only looking out for themselves and an organization with members who help their fellow mates along. Now, there's a difference, right? There's a difference between a group or an organization or a company or even a church when members or workers or whomever it might be are only looking out for their own interests compared to an organization where members are looking out not just for themselves, but they're looking out for each other. They're looking out for their fellow colleagues. They're looking out for people that work ahead of them or above them and people who work below them. And they're interdependent, and they're invested in each other. And as a church community, we must also resist the tendency. Now, this is for many of us. I'll just step on some of your toes and say right away that many of us here, we live and we've become self-centered. We've become selfish, and we become self-preserving. All these self things, rather than being an interdependent, invested community of Christ followers. In nature, this is illustrated well in the difference between a parasitic relationship, which is an organism that feeds off a host at the expense of and even the death of the host, and a mutualistic relationship, where two organisms live in proximity to each other and mutually benefit from their relationship. You know, I love watching nature documentaries. When I was a kid, I watched tons of them. And there is a DVD series or a television series called Planet Earth. And there's a part of Planet Earth that illustrates this vividly. And I'm going to show two parts of this for us. The first clip, we will see the gruesome effects of a parasitic fungus called cordyceps that pretty much grows inside of an insect, kills that insect, kills its host, and then after a while begins to grow itself out of that host's body. Like, if you don't really get what I'm saying, you got to watch this, all right? So let's watch this first clip of this parasite called a cordyceps, okay? Man, isn't that disgusting? Wow, that's really gross. Now what we'll see is this, okay? The second clip here now shows a mutualistic relationship. I was going to say friendship. It's sort of a friendship. A mutualistic relationship between the carnivorous pitcher plant, which eats insects, and a spider called a red crab spider, which also eats insects. And now these two creatures, I guess this plant, pitcher plant and the red crab spider, they both benefit from each other's presence in the jungle ecosystem, okay? So we watched a parasitic relationship, really gross. Now we'll watch a mutualistic relationship, all right? Okay, so we see this. We see this relationship here where the plant, right? It's like a biology class. This plant eats insects, and this spider also eats insects. And after he eats the insect that the plant catches, the remains and whatever's left over goes back into the pitcher plant, so the pitcher plant can eat. Wow, isn't God awesome? Amen? Wow, that's amazing stuff. I really enjoy watching this stuff. So, anyways, you know, we human beings often act like a group of parasites. In our natural, sinful selves, we will naturally suck the life out of each other. But by the power of Jesus Christ, biblical community can be characterized and can be transformed into something that is mutualistic, life-giving, life-sharing. This is where we'll take up Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10, and we'll talk about the concept of life change groups. Now, this is, like I've said before, a fundamental piece of church life here in Harvest Mission Community Church. And there are two ways Paul describes our relationships within the family of God in Galatians 6, 1 through 10. Number one is God's family must be interdependent with each other. And number two is that God's family must be invested into each other. So let's go ahead and read chapter 6, and we'll read the first five verses initially. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. So the first truth is that God's family must be interdependent with each other. One thing that is clear here is that we must bear one another's burdens. This is what Paul writes to the Galatian church. And what he says, how we must do that is, we will all be at some time in our lives, we will all be confronted by sin. We will all be confronted with the reality that we have sin in our lives. In fact, when you look in Galatians and you look in chapter 5, and you see right before our section that we read, you see that there Paul describes this battle that goes on in every single believer's heart. Every single believer's heart has a battle between the sinful nature and the spirit nature. Now, for those people who are not believers in Jesus Christ, there is no spirit nature within them, and there's only a sinful nature. But for all of us, we have a sinful nature. And what we have to expect, and what verse 1 of chapter 6 says, is if anyone is caught in transgression, what it realizes is when it happens that our sinful nature rears its ugly head, when that happens, we have to bear one another's burdens. And what he says is living by the Spirit in chapter 5, living by the Spirit is a reality we all can experience, and we must also know that at any time, to any of us, our sinful natures can surprise us and overtake us. In fact, that's what that word caught means. It means to be surprised or overtaken by, in this case, our transgressions. It can come from a passing glance at that one lady. It can be from a careless word that you speak that begins an eruption of a fight. It can begin from an unchecked feeling or emotion or thought. It can start from an unexpected crisis or situation that brings out the worst in you. And what happens in those moments is we need help from each other to overcome our sinful nature, to overcome our sin. And what he says is bearing one another's burdens. And what that includes is helping each other receive forgiveness through Jesus Christ and overcome that sinful nature. So what that means to bear one another's burdens, it means you help each other go to Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins. You help that person resist temptation and resist the temptation to go even further deeper into that sin. In fact, let me tell you this. Doing this, bearing one another's burdens, is the way we will walk in the Spirit. It's not like we start floating. The Holy Spirit begins to help us to levitate, and we're like angels, and that's how we walk in the Spirit. I'll tell you, we will always struggle with sin. And the way that we walk in the Holy Spirit is not by floating in the air and living a perfect life, but what it means is that we carry one another's burdens. In fact, what Paul says is this fulfills the law of Christ, to love your neighbor. And Luke 10:27 says to love your neighbor as yourself. And when we're able to bear one another's burdens and carry them, this is the key to freedom in Jesus Christ. Now, if I would say, who wants to be free? I bet all of us would raise our hands. And I'll tell you, this is why bearing one another's burdens is so important, to really live up to the potential that Jesus wants us to live up to. the first half of what life change groups, what we're talking about today, or LCG, I'm going to refer to life change groups as LCG for the rest of this sermon. It's one half of what LCG is about exhaling. James 5:16 says it like this: therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. When we bear one another's burdens, when we confess our sins to each other, this is the exhaling part of a life change group. Now, what Paul warns us is we must, as we bear one another's burdens, we must keep careful watch over ourselves also. We ought not underestimate our own sinful nature's influence on us. In fact, Christians often make two mistakes. We as Christians will often make two mistakes. We will often overestimate our ability to deny our sinful natures. And we'll think, well, I can have it under control. Have you ever said that? I got this under control. And then it's out of control. And oftentimes what Christians will do is they will underestimate the power and influence of sin in their lives. And they're going to say something like, I'm not that bad. I'm doing okay. And oftentimes we make that mistake, overestimating our abilities and underestimating the power of sin. When we live like this, the passage goes on and say that we deceive ourselves and close the door on the power of the gospel to rescue us. Let me tell you this. The gospel says Jesus came to this earth to save sinners, to save sick people, sin-sick people like you and I. Now, when we deny the fact that we are sinners, when we underestimate the power of sin and we overestimate our ability, what we do is we neutralize the power of the gospel in our lives and we deceive ourselves. And I'd encourage us, many young people here, you are deceived. You are deceived and living in sin. And when you sit down with somebody and they say, so what's going on? Well, not much. I don't sin that much. Many of us who are a little bit on the older side of this congregation, we think, well, I mean, that's for the younger guys, right? They struggle with lust and pornography, but not me. I'm an older man. And I'll tell you this, oftentimes we will underestimate the power of sin. We will overestimate ourselves. We need to do an honest test on ourselves. And in fact, this is Max Turner, a New Testament scholar, paraphrases what's said in 3 and 4. He says it like this. If you are intent on boasting, for example, I don't need anybody's help. If you are intent on boasting in this way, just look at yourself. Just look in the mirror. Just take a diagnostic test of your heart and of yourself, and you will realize you cannot boast about yourself. These days, my son, he's 3 years old. Hopefully, you get to see him around. He runs around here all the time. But these days, he's into challenging what me and his mother say. And so, you know, he'll wake up very early in the morning, and we try to encourage him, just stay in bed. If it's dark outside, just stay in bed so you can sleep a little bit longer. And so, you know, he'll wake me up at like, you know, whatever time, and he'll say, you know, Daddy, I'm awake. And then I'll look at him, I'll say, Emmanuel, it's still dark outside. And then you know what he says? He says, no, it's not. I'm like, son, it's dark outside. Look, it's dark. There's nothing, you can't see anything. No, it's not. And there's nothing I can do to change his mind. To him, he is deceived into thinking he wants to wake up. He wants to do whatever he wants to do. He wants to get up and get ahead on his day, you know, work on his computer, check his emails, whatever he wants to do. And he's just denying the truth. He does this to us several times a day. He'll just totally flat out refute what we're saying. And we're like, I'm pretty sure that's the truth. It's dark outside. No, it's not. And many of us, we deceive ourselves into thinking that sin is not a problem in our lives. And sin is not powerful. And we overestimate our ability. We underestimate the power and influence of sin. And what LCG partners help us to do is they help us to address these blind spots. A blind spot for a driver is that spot right over your shoulder where your mirror, your side mirror and your front mirror cannot see what's right there. And so what do you have to do when you're changing lanes or when you're turning? You got to check your blind spot, right? You got to check. You can't look at the mirror, you can't look at your mirrors. You got to check and then go ahead. For us, we have these kinds of blind spots in our lives. And so what an LCG does is we submit ourselves to thorough challenges in our lives, challenging all areas of our lives and specific issues of accountability. Not just, how are you doing? I'm doing okay. And then you drink your coffee, and then it's really, really quiet because that's all you talk about. Oh, how's it going? It's going okay. That's it. It's thorough, challenging all areas of life. It's specific. Not just how are you doing, but tackling specific areas, identified areas of help that you need so that you will be on more solid ground as a follower of Jesus Christ. We have this handout that's available and that we're making this available to our life groups. And this is something I went over in one of the life groups that I'm a part of. And let me just read you some of these thorough and specific questions. Now, imagine just being talked, you know, asking yourselves or asking this question, these questions to another. I'm going to do questions for men, so with another brother. And make, you know, think about this, how awkward this will make you feel. Have you been a verbal testimony this week to the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been in a compromising situation with a member of the opposite sex anywhere this past week or been exposed to sexually explicit material? So it's not just saying, how are you doing in the area of lust? Have you been exposed to any sexually explicit material? Have you been faithful in your times in the Word and in prayer? Have you damaged another person by your words, either behind their back or face to face? Have you been engaged in any addictive behavior? Have you continued to remain angry toward another? And on and on. And so here are these questions. And what we need to do is we need to help one another as LCG partners to address these blind spots thoroughly and specifically. We also, in verse 5, ultimately what Paul says is that we will be all accountable before God. We will be all accountable before God. Each individual will stand alone before God to be judged. That means you're not going to go with your parents ahead of you and say, they'll be like, my son is a Christian because I'm a Christian. There's a Christian home. And it says that on my identification card. That's what it says on my baptism certificate. And so let's go, right? No. What he says is all of us will stand before God to be judged alone. All of us must take responsibility for his or her own actions and decisions. And God will call us into account for our entire lives, everything that we do. Everything that you have ever done, he's going to hold you accountable to. Now, what this doesn't invalidate what Paul's been talking about, that we have to bear one another's burdens. In fact, we stand on our own before God, and yet we can influence and help each other. Now, this is the definition of interdependence here, okay? And I'm going to explain this through an illustration, and I'm going to just have my lovely assistant, Eric, to come and help me. This is something that we often teach in our premarital counseling. So if ever you want to get married in our church, this is what we're going to teach you, okay? What we say is, oftentimes a relationship can be like this. So lean into me, okay? Like this. Right? It's like this. This is a codependent relationship. This is an unhealthy... Okay, you can stop. This is an unhealthy relationship. A codependent relationship when you are in the shape of an A is when the two people cannot stand on their own. They rely on each other too much for their spiritual life, their walk with God, their faith. All right? And many of you maybe have experienced that kind of relationship where, like, you're with that person 24/7. You cannot make a decision apart from that person. That person is everything to you. That's a codependent relationship. Now, an opposite extreme is an independent relationship. Now, that was an A. Now, this is an H. Okay? No, you don't have to put your arm. That's a weird H, okay? This is an H, right? So this is a relationship where you're walking along, right? and you're on your own, like, hey, and then every once in a while, like, hey, what's up? And then you kind of like touch fingers very briefly, like Sunday celebration, holy high five. All right, and I'm on my way, right? And that's like an H. That is an independent relationship where you're just pretty much on your own, doing your own thing. Now, what an interdependent relation is like this. It is like an M. Okay, now this is where it gets a little weird, okay? Are you okay with this? Okay, this is an M, okay? This is where, see, it's like an M. You see the M? All right, cool, right? YMCA. An M. An M. This is where each person stands on their own two feet, but they're connected to one another. They help one another along, right? We help one another along. All right, thank you. Okay. Can we give him a hand? Not only does he do PowerPoint, he also does our illustrations for us. So that is what an interdependent relation. We will stand before God alone, and we will be held responsible for the things that we have done. And yet, God, in his provision and in his grace, has provided his family so that we can help one another along the way. Accountability is a means of grace, just like any other spiritual habit. Now, let me be clear on this, because oftentimes there's misunderstandings. We think when we read the Bible, when we pray, when we go to church, when we're part of biblical community, when we evangelize, then God will love us more. That's not what it is, okay? When we engage in these, what I call spiritual habits, what they do is they put us in a place to receive God's grace. Do you see that? And so when we are in this kind of accountability relationship, when we meet together, that is an opportunity for us to experience God's grace. And how it is experienced is LCG operates on the 1-1-1 principle. This is just HMCC lingo now, okay? 1-1-1 principle. You meet with one other person. In some cases, it might be two. One other person for 1 hour. So it's a purposeful time. It's not like you're just hanging out with each other. You meet with one person for 1 hour once a week. And the heart behind it is you meet with a small group. So it's a catchy phrase to remember. You meet with a small group of people, one or two other guys or girls, and you meet for 1 hour or a purposeful period of time. And you meet regularly and consistently. And as you do that, it is a means to receive grace, because what LCG partners do is they ask each other specific, holistic questions, specific, thorough questions that probe into each other's lives. And we give each other permission to do this, despite how awkward it might be, despite how difficult it might be to talk about what you've been looking at on the internet, despite how awkward it is to talk about that relationship with that person that's a little bit ambiguous or a little bit sketchy, how awkward it is to talk about your marriage and the problems in your marriage, how awkward it is to talk about your family issues or family problems. But that, when you are disciplined and you have that spiritual habit to apply that 1-1-1 principle of LCG, it is a means for you and I to receive God's grace. Here are some, I just thought of a couple LCG killers now. So like that ant, like that fungus, right? It comes out, you die, and then it starts blooming out. An LCG killer. It is much easier not to be vulnerable and transparent, even to lie, than to address the real issues going on in your life, right? It's easy just to say, yeah, everything's going okay. Or you just kind of tell the half-truth. Well, you know, I just spent a lot of time on the internet. Looking at what? Well, just looking at, like, what kind of stuff? Some pictures. What kind of pictures? Right? It's much easier to be kind of protecting yourself, to be vague on the details, even just to lie, because then you don't have to go into that topic that's so draining to talk about for you. Also, another LCG killer is, since most of us have a lot going on in our lives, it's very easy just to slip into the routine that you meet for 1 hour, you kind of check in and check out, drink your coffee, you talk about your sins, and then you leave, and then there's no real intention to change or grow. Some of us, we'll even just stop meeting LCG altogether. Life gets busy, and instead of just going through the motions, you're like, okay, let's meet. You put it in your calendar, and then that day, you're like, well, nah, I'm not going to meet. No, you know, something came up, even though nothing really came up. These are LCG killers, and these are things that stop us from receiving God's grace. Let's go ahead and read now verses 6 through 10. So that's God's family must be interdependent with each other. Now let's look at verses 6 through 10. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So the second part is God's family must be invested into each other. God's family must be invested into each other. What Paul says in verse 6 is he says, we must share all good things with each other. And what he's talking about specifically is the good that is sown in by a teacher should now be shared. That student, that pupil ought to share that good stuff and back to his teacher. Now, according to Craig Keener, another New Testament scholar, what he says is Paul urged the Galatian Christians to support their teachers who provided sound teaching, the ones who were providing the good, solid teaching from Jesus Christ. Now, my question is, how is in the world is this related to the context here? The context where he's talking about brothers, you got to carry one another. Brothers and sisters, you got to bear one another's burdens with each other. You got to walk in the Spirit. In fact, when you bear one another's burdens, you are walking in the Spirit, and it is a means of receiving God's grace. And then he says, well, you got to pay your teacher. What does that mean? What I think this is it is an illustration of the principle. So Paul uses an illustration. He's writing a letter. And now he uses this illustration to illustrate the principle that relationships in the church should be mutually beneficial. Mutually beneficial. In other words, the community of believers should invest good into each other. Not only does the community of believers carry one another's burdens in interdependence, but they also invest. They deposit good into each other. We saw this in the relationship between the pitcher plant and that red crab spider, that weird multi-eyed spider. That there is a mutual, this mutual investment really benefits both creatures here. And for us, the community of believers that is invested in each other, we will mutually benefit when we are mutually invested. LCG partners, therefore, help each other pursue the noble things of life. What do I mean by that? Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 and 10. This is the New Living Translation. Usually I use the English Standard Version, by the way. But for sometimes I'll choose other translations. Says this, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. Basically, what this says, especially in the first part, is when you got two people, it's better than one because when you just got one, you just settle for here. But when you have two or more people, you push one another, you encourage one another. You don't let that other person settle for less. And in fact, what you do is you inspire them to pursue more. When you exercise by yourself, I like exercising by myself. You know why? Because then I don't have to be pushed. I can just do whatever sets I want to do. I can run for as long as I want to run, and then when I get tired, I'm just going to stop. Now, when I run with somebody else or exercise with somebody else, or sometimes I run with like teams of people, and that's like even worse. Because then you got to run, and you got to keep up with everybody. And you know what happens? Everyone goes a little bit faster, right? When you're lifting weights with somebody, everyone lifts a little bit more because you're like, I don't want to lift lower. I don't want to take those weights off. I'm going to just do what you're doing, right? So you lift more. You attain more. You pursue nobler things. LCG partners can also motivate and help each other progress to glorify the Lord Jesus in everything that they do. When you get together with that LCG partner, what you do is you begin pushing each other to glorify Jesus Christ more. And you push each other to consistently pursue Jesus and pursue the nobler things. I often tell people this. Sin is usually stuff that you do alone. Sin is usually stuff that you do when you're by yourself. But when you're with other people, especially people in the community of believers, we should push one another to pursue the noble things of life. He goes on to say that we must sow the Holy Spirit's work into our lives. And then he says something very interesting. He says, God is not mocked. What that means is he just knows all things. God knows everything that goes on. He cannot be tricked. He cannot be rejected. He cannot be manipulated. He cannot be bargained with. He cannot be tricked. He cannot be regarded in contempt by people. So what he says is, whatever we sow, we will also reap. Because, now listen carefully, okay? It's not just natural consequences. It is because God sees what you do. He knows what you do. And he controls and determines what you will reap. God is in control. He sees, he knows, and he controls the output of your lives. On one side. So what that says is basically, we cannot beat the sowing and reaping principle. On one side, if you sow in continuing transgression, God sees that. He knows it. And he determines that you will reap what the Bible says is spiritual decay and ruin. On the other side, if you sow in the working of the Holy Spirit, God also sees that. And he knows it. And he determines that you will reap eternal life. Even the things that you think no one else sees, God sees it. Even the things that you think, man, I just did a terrible job. That was such a feeble attempt. Yet God sees and he knows and he determines the output of your actions. This is not works salvation. Please do not misunderstand what I'm saying. This is not works salvation. But this is evidence of genuine faith and salvation through the tangible lifestyle of a follower of Jesus Christ. This is our part of the covenant relationship. It's a small part compared to what God does to save us. But it is the part that we are responsible for. And what LCG partners do is they help each other pursue these kinds of personal and spiritual goals. So not only just sharing areas of life that you need accountability, that's the exhaling, right? Now, we have to develop stronger spiritual muscles. For example, my LCG partners that I have, and what I do is we discuss that a need for us to meditate more substantially on our Bible readings for that day. And so what we decided to do is we SMS the things that God impressed us. It doesn't have to be long, but you SMS. I think about it, and I SMS my accountability partners. And that helps us build up the stronger spiritual muscles. A lot of times, I just wouldn't do that if left to myself, to be honest. How many of us are like that too? But when you have somebody there that you have to be accountable to, that you are working together towards that spiritual and personal goal, then you'll do a little bit of a better job. You'll put in a little bit more effort. What we must keep doing, what the Bible finally says is we must keep doing good towards others. We must keep doing good. And what he says is, don't grow weary of doing good. You know why? You know why it says don't grow weary of doing good? It's because doing good requires energy. It requires effort. It requires energy spent to go against, I'm going to go a little bit physics on you, okay? To go against the spiritual entropy, the spiritual chaos that naturally happens. It gets tiring to sow faithfully and requires faith to wait patiently for results. The worst thing that can happen to a farmer after he sows the seeds, after he waters, after he weeds, is somewhere down the line he just gives up and quits before it's time to harvest. Isn't that that would be tragic, right? Like, spends months watering, you know, helping it grow, nurturing, talking to his plants, and then, oh man, this is never going to grow. I'm going to quit. Then he just leaves it to die. What Paul says is, do not grow weary of doing good. And the second half of what LCGs is about is not just exhaling, but it's inhaling now. You're inhaling, you're growing. When you set those personal and spiritual goals for yourself, then LCG, you do not let each other quit. We mutually train each other. We mutually coach. Coaches, they say, come on, you can do it. A little bit more, a little bit harder, a little bit more, a little bit better. We mutually police each other. We say, hey, dude, that's not a good idea. What were you doing? What were you doing last night? Why were you with that one person? Why are you spending money on this or that? What a great culture in our church this would be, right? Where there is a mutual training, there is a mutual coaching, there is a mutual policing that we experience as a church. And we inhale, we help each other to grow. Hebrews 3, 12 through 13. There's a lot of scripture that talks about this. And this is what the writer of Hebrews says. He says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. Now listen, but exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Lastly, LCG partners should also be directed outward, Instead of getting inward focused, we should also incorporate prayer that will get us upward oriented. So when we pray, we have this mutual prayer ministry in our LCG. And then please, when you meet with your LCG, don't just talk. But lift up prayers up. Be upward oriented and pray together. I'll say this. Get used to praying with other people, please. I meet a lot of people. I don't want to bash anybody because this is not more than just one or two people. This is many people that I encounter. You just don't want to pray out loud. You don't want to pray with other people. And I'll tell you this, that is just an essential habit or ability that you must have. When you get married and you pray with your spouse, are you going to be like, can you pray? I really don't like praying out loud. When you get together in your life group, right? It's time to pray, and you have something that you want to pray, but you're so scared because I don't know what to say. I don't know. I don't like talking out loud. Just do it. Get used to doing it and build up that practice. Also, LCG partners, we should also still have a mission and incorporate outreach into our LCGs. This is also being outward focused, outward directed by inviting a newcomer. Let's say there's somebody new in your life group. What I would say is incorporate that person into maybe some activities that you do. Maybe some fun things that you do. That's a part of LCG that is very important. Instead of getting inward focused, you look outward. You help each other share the gospel with people. You pray for those people, each other's friends who don't know Christ. And you reach out to people. And then, isn't that the model of discipleship? Another person becomes a Christian. You guys meet, and now not as a group of two, but as a group of three. And then you help that person grow and to stand up. In an interdependent relationship, you reach out to another, you split up into two LCGs, you help them grow, you disciple them, you mutually train and coach and police. In conclusion, the one thing that I want you to remember and implement into your life this morning is simply this. God's family must strive for interdependent and invested relationships. God's family must strive for interdependent and invested relationships. Here's the life application, is simply to commit to your life change group this year. Your life groups have probably already implemented some kind of LCG or life change group. If you're not a part of a life group, I would say join a life group. I would say if you need some more accountability, then get it from your wife or talk to somebody else here or talk to a good friend. And be committed to these three things. Be committed to raising each other's spiritual level, that inhaling. Raise each other's spiritual level, okay? Also, when you commit to your LCG this year, commit to resisting spiritual habits together, fighting them, helping one another, bearing one another's burdens. When you do fall, not if you fall, when you fall and stumble in sin, you bear that burden, you bring them to Christ, you bring them to that table. You confess your sins. You pray for them. And as you commit to your life change group, be committed to reaching out to others, whether they're Christians and they're new to our church or whether they're pre-Christians and they need to know who Jesus Christ is. Commit to your life change group this year by raising each other's spiritual level, resisting sin together, and reaching out to others. And we've been going through what a radical community looks like and what we as HMCC are striving to be. Let me just show you this diagram again that kind of illustrates what our church is about. We want to be a church that is Christ-centered. We're reaching upwards towards Christ in everything that we do. He's our leader. We want to be a church that is Spirit-empowered. Everything that we do is powered by the Holy Spirit. So everything we do is supernatural. Every life group gathering, every Sunday celebration, every LCG that you have. And we're gospel-driven. What that means is we share the gospel with people. That means in situations with each other here, we apply the gospel to one another. And there are some fundamental practices that we do as a church. We've talked about our word ministry, our prayer ministry. We've talked about loving service and evangelism. We talked about last week about life groups, our Christ-like community. And now we talk about accountability as one of those fundamental things. I don't want to overload us with a lot of information, but just remember this picture and remember what's inside the church, these fundamental activities. And know that accountability is an important means of grace and activity in the church. If we want to be a radical community that looks like the book, that looks like the church in the book of Acts, we must commit to strive for interdependent and invested relationships through LCGs. Remember that being a church is not coming to a building. Never say that. That's taboo in our church. You don't ever go to church. We are the church. In fact, this is just the Heartline Center. We are the church. It is a journey that we take. It's not what we do. It is who we become. It is a journey of following Jesus together and becoming the people of God that are faithful to His purposes and His plans until we get to our final destination. Amen? Let's all stand together.